Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday. We read in the gospel according to St. Luke in the 20th chapter beginning at verse 9. He went on to tell the people this parable. A man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants, so they would give him some of the fruits of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat and treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "May this never be." Jesus looked directly at them and asked, "Then what is the meaning of that which is written? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken into pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God. According to the ancient church calendar, this is Passion Sunday, the fifth Sunday in Lent. It was called that because at this time, preparation for Good Friday began to become more intense as Holy Week draws ever closer. The gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday points also to an intensity, the intensity of the teachers of the law and the chief priests to put Jesus to death. And directly, they wanted to do that immediately because they knew that Jesus had spoken this parable against them. But why did they put it off a few days? Why did they wait till the end of the week? Because they were afraid of the people. So in Jesus' parable, in Jesus' life, in the church year, everything now begins to intensify and point more directly to our Savior's suffering and death on the cross. It came to point more intensely to the words of the Apostle John that he wrote about the Savior Jesus in the first chapter of his gospel, where he wrote about the Word who came into the flesh. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There is our sermon theme for today. Jesus came to his own, but they did not receive him. This parable Jesus told them was one of their last opportunities that Jesus gave them for repentance. And this parable, in its message, explains the meaning of Jesus' passion and Holy Week's events. Jesus told the parable of the tenants on Tuesday of his final week on earth. So it's the Tuesday of Holy Week. Jesus was preaching and teaching, as he often did, in the temple courts. The chief priests and the scribes, the teachers of the law, had gathered there and were listening to him, along with crowds of pilgrims who had come to Jerusalem for Passover. And these chief priests and the teachers of the law began to question Jesus by what authority he was doing that. Who gave you the authority to preach? Who gave you the authority to teach? Jesus didn't answer them directly. This parable is his answer. But it was addressed not to them, but to the crowds, but within their earshot, so that they could hear the message that Jesus was giving. Among the crowds were the pilgrims who had come to the city for Passover. They would have come from many countries into Jerusalem. Jesus' picture of the vineyard would have been familiar to all of them. It's familiar to us as well, isn't it? There was a man who owned a vineyard. He planted it, got it all ready, and then he left it in the hands of some farmers, some tenants. And then he went away a long time. He gave that vineyard a chance to grow and to mature and to bear a crop of fruit. And at that time, well within his rights, and for the very reason that he had planted the vineyard in the first place, the owner sent one of his servants to collect some of the fruits from that vineyard from those tenant farmers. The tenant farmers, however, did not want to give up any of the fruits. They wanted to take over the vineyard for themselves. And so they beat up the servant that the landowner had sent to them. Literally, they skinned him alive and beat him up almost to death. And then they sent him back to the owner. But the owner, in his patience and mercy, sent another servant, and they did the same thing to him. And a third time, the owner sent a servant, and they did the same thing to him. Humanly speaking, after all that, you might just give up. But the landowner said, "They didn't respect my servants, so I'll send my own son to them. I'll send my son into their midst, and surely they will recognize him and welcome him." But the tenant farmers said, "No, we won't accept him any more than we sent those who represented the owner who came before him." And so they took the son of the landowner outside of the vineyard, and they killed him. You know, people sometimes ask me, "Pastor, did people, when Jesus told his parables originally, did they understand the parable? Did they understand what Jesus was talking about?" The answer is, sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. In fact, Jesus said that for those who believe, those parables were meant to increase their faith in him, and did. But for those who rejected him, they didn't always understand. And he used them to even drive them deeper into their unbelief. But here was a place where we know what the response was and what the purpose was. Jesus had told this parable in love to call the leaders of Israel to repentance. And they knew, they understood that Jesus was talking about them. That just as all the Old Testament prophets, God's servants whom he had sent to gather fruits of faith and love from Israel, which Isaiah called the vineyard of the Lord, he said the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. So the nation of Israel was that vineyard. And just as Israel rejected all of those prophets, all of those servants, they now would reject the Son. And they would not just reject him, but they would take him outside the city and they would kill him. Jesus let them know that he knew exactly what they had planned and what they were going to do, so that they would repent of them, of that sin. But they didn't. And in fact, then they began more intensely to plan Jesus' arrest and his death. But they put it off a little bit because they were afraid of the people. The owner of the vineyard in Jesus' parable had not given up on people who rejected his representatives, but he sent his Son to them. So, God did not reject his people when they rejected the prophets. But finally, the tenants did reject even the Son. And the landowner said, well, now I'm going to take the vineyard away from them and give it to somebody else. And that leads us to the second part of our sermon, where Jesus came to be among his own, but they rejected him. This parable explains what happened that week, what happened in the events that took place later in the week. The servants in Jesus' parable rejected not only the prophets or the servants, but they also rejected and killed the Son. And so the landowner took the land away from them and gave it to somebody else. Jesus was teaching that Israel, who rejected the prophets, still received the promised Son, still received the gift of the Son, but they rejected him and killed them, him. And so Jesus then says to the crowd, well, what is the meaning then of Psalm 118, verse 22? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. When the crowd heard this parable and understood what Jesus was saying, they said, may this never be, that you would be so foolish as to reject not only the servants, but the Son. And then Jesus said, well, then what does Psalm 118:22 mean? That the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And that those who fall on that stone are going to be broken. Jesus was talking there about Israel. That God would take away from Israel that promise of the Savior and would now give it to somebody else. Would now give it to the Gentiles. This is Jesus' promise that the week's events of him suffering and dying on the cross was because of the rejection of Israel as the promised Messiah. But God would use their rejection as a way of giving that promise and that kingdom of God to others. In both of our other lessons this morning, we heard someone say or indicate, don't look back, but look ahead. And that's what Jesus was teaching here about the week's events. As Holy Week draws nearer, as the passion of our Lord gets closer, it means don't look back, as if Israel still had some favored status with God, as if they were still somehow God's chosen people. Certainly individuals who are Jews can come to believe in the Savior. The gospel is for Jew and Gentile alike. But we don't look back as if the Old Testament way of doing things is still the way to do it. But the meaning of the events of Holy Week is that we look forward. That you and I now, as the New Testament church, have that blessing of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross for us. That the Son who was killed, who died, died for us. And now God has shared with us His kingdom. Those who fall on the cornerstone are broken into pieces. He is that stumbling block, that scandal to them as they continue to reject Him. But for us, the stone the builders in Israel rejected has become the cornerstone on which God, through the Holy Spirit, builds His New Testament church with us, living stones, built on the foundation of the prophets, with Christ, Moses and the prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the cornerstone, or the capstone. When you build an arch, you start building from both sides, and as it goes into the middle, the final stone that you put right in the middle is the capstone. And in ancient times, and maybe today, I'm no engineer, but maybe today, that holds those two sides together. The two sides would lean against that, and that capstone would literally hold those two sides together. You and I are approaching quickly the end of the Lenten season. How urgent it is for us to hear the Word of God. How urgent it is for us through the gospel to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. You and I are the tenants of the Lord's vineyard today. That vineyard is the Holy Christian Church. And it's not ours to own. It's not up to us to reject the servants, the representatives of God who speak His word and say we don't want to listen to the message of the landowner. It's not for us to reject the Bible or God's word or Christ and somehow take over ownership of the vineyard or to become impenitent for our sins, because God then says that if you don't take care of my vineyard, then I will take it and give it to somebody else. This parable of the tenants shows the Savior's passion. It is our call to repentance, not only as individuals, but also as a church, because it explains the meaning of Christ, our Savior's passion. We have been looking at that passion during our midweek services. We look at that passion every Sunday when we gather for worship. And today, we intensify our thoughts toward the Lord's passion as Holy Week draws closer. Passion Sunday is a fitting name for today, indeed. Amen.